Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
How many of you are ready to put 2016 to bed?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Couple of you? How many of you have great expectations for 2017? All right. Yeah, man. That's good. That's actually a great response. How many of you have great expectations for this service tonight? All right. Well, I can assure you we're going to have a great time then tonight, man, because that encourages me that you have an expectation. I want to share with you this message tonight was designed to just stir you up. It was designed to build an expectancy in you, not only for today, but for tomorrow, for 2017, for the rest of your life. And so one of my favorite verses in the Bible, a great scripture that has blessed my life, has made such a difference in my life. And what it's done, it's created an expectancy in my life for to see God, to see Him moving in my life, in my circumstances. And so I want to share that with you, and I want you to take some notes tonight. I'm going to share just a few scriptures with you, but I believe if you'll write these down, and you'll look at them, and you'll meditate them, you'll write them on the tablet of your heart, they'll change your life too. First one, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let's just stop right there for a second. So it's going to take faith for us to please our Heavenly Father, and we want to please Him, right? Come on, man, for all that He's done for us, He's saved us, He's delivered us, He's set us free, He's given us life in abundance. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we could say that if we're not using our faith, then we're not pleasing our Heavenly Father, right? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God, that's you, that's me, we're coming to God, you came to church tonight, must believe, first of all, that He is who He said He is. Well, I know you do that. But just as importantly, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him.
Amen.
God is setting you and I up. He sets us up. Oh, He sets us up good, too. Because you're in church tonight, you ought to have an expectation for a reward. I want to encourage you guys. I want to exhort you. I want to admonish you. Every time you come to church, every time you open up your Bible, every time you pray, I want you to have an expectation for a reward, that God's going to show Himself to you. He's going to reveal Himself to you. He's going to give you something to take you over, to advance you, to increase you. That's our God. That's Hebrews 11:6. I didn't say it. He said it. He wants to reward you. So have an expectation in that. Every time that I'm around God, every time I'm around people, God, every time I go to a Bible study, I open up my Bible and I'm praying, I'm having a confident expectation that I'm getting something. I've been praying for this service for over a month when Pastor John, first of all, thank you, Pastor John Michelle, for giving me the opportunity to be able to speak into your lives tonight. And so when he asked me to do this, I prayed and I believe I heard from God. And I've been believing for over a month, this is what I've been believing for, that we would have signs, wonders, and miracles take place in this service tonight. You believe that? Come on, man. Do you believe that our God can do anything?
Anything.
Amen. I know you do. Do you believe that He can do anything for anyone?
Yes.
Ah, gotcha. I gotcha. I'm not here to trick you. I'm not here to trip you up, but He cannot do all things to just everyone. He can only do all things to those who
believe.
You get that? All things are possible to those who
believe.
You got to believe, man. You know, there's lots of people outside this church body tonight, outside this church walls that don't believe. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in what He can do. They're not putting their trust in God. And so because they're not believing, they can't receive. That's just the way it goes. You have to believe in order to receive. So I want you to attach your belief up with me tonight. I want you to just stay with me, man, and we're going to see God do some great things tonight. Let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank You for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that are receptive and ready to receive tonight, Father God. We know with you that nothing is impossible. We know with you that all things are possible to those that believe. We're saying tonight we're believers. We believe in you, Father God. We believe and we're expecting that your word come true, where you said when the word goes forth, that there shall accompany it with signs, wonders, and miracles. We're believing that in this service tonight, Father God. And we're expecting it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. How about this, Louisville Slugger? I want to start off tonight by talking some baseball. How about that? Baseball, Pastor Chris. We're right, man, in the thick of things with the Steelers. And you do know that here we go. Steelers, come on, here we go. Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. Here we go. Okay, you know that. We're on it. Get past the Browns tomorrow. But I want to talk about some baseball, man. I love baseball. I played baseball all growing up, and I still enjoy it to this day. And you might say, well, I don't like baseball, and I don't know nothing about baseball. Well, I'm sure that you'll recognize these two players that I'm going to talk about tonight. Okay, and I'm bringing them up to illustrate something. The first baseball player I want to bring to your attention tonight is Babe Ruth. Remember, recognize that name? Babe Ruth, big old strapping guy, man, baseball player. Now, he played a long time ago, but Babe Ruth will always be remembered by being the home run king for the longest time. 714 home runs he hit. Now, I played baseball a long time, and I only ever hit one home run, and it was an inside the park home run because I didn't have enough oomph to get it over the fence, but I was fast. Okay, so I only ever hit one home run. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. Think about that. And here's what, he had some faith, man. He'd walk up to the plate. This is the plate. He'd draw a line right there. And he'd point out the right field, like, it's coming your way, boys. And 714 times it did. 714 times he said, it's coming your way, man. And they're like, yeah, yeah, old man. And he hit 714 home runs. But here's the thing about Babe Ruth that a lot of people don't know. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times. Whoa. 1,330 times. You know that's almost double the times he hit home runs? That's a lot of strikeouts, man. That's a lot of times leaving runners on the base. That's a lot of times when people were depending upon you or on him that he let them down. Now, the second baseball player, now Babe Ruth was way before my time. As John Spencer was here, Pastor John, I'd be like, you remember him, Pastor John, you know? But you could tell him that when he comes back. But the next baseball player I'd like to refer to tonight, and I think you'll recognize him, is Hank Aaron, right? Hank Aaron, man, I remember watching him growing up, and they said that Babe Ruth's record could never be broken. But you know what? Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, and he hit 755 home runs. Think about that. Think about what it must have been like to round the bases 755 times, not being able to get out, stadiums going ballistic, your teammates coming out of the dugouts, giving you high fives, hugging you. You know, the whole country was watching Hank Aaron because they wanted to see if he could beat Babe Ruth's record. Think about that, guys, what that must have felt like. Man, I sure would have liked to have seen that and liked to have been able to do that. But here's what a lot of people don't know about Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron struck out more than Babe Ruth. He struck out 1,383 times. Think about that. Went up to the plate, and 1,383 times he struck out. What do you think it must have felt like to strike out that many times? What do you think it must have felt like to strike out for the 1,000th time? Because, you know, people keep records of these things. And you know, like, people were watching him. People were, you know, all around the country. He had teammates, you know, the owners of the baseball team. Everybody was watching him, and he struck out. You think after maybe 1,000 times, he would have said, maybe it's time for me to hang up the cleats. Maybe it's time for me to quit. I just can't do it anymore. But I want you to know, guys, that these guys are both in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're in the elite of the elite. And they were not defined by their strikeouts. They weren't defined by their failures. They weren't defined by how many times they left people on base. It didn't stop them. It didn't limit them. They walked to the plate each time with a confident expectation, I'm getting on base. I'm going to get a hit. And they'll always be remembered for all their home runs, not their strikeouts, not their failures. Right? You guys always remember them by their... How many times have you struck out? Come on. How many times have you left people on the bases? How many times were people depending upon you and you let them down? Or how about this? How many times did you feel like you left yourself down? Come on, we all have, right? So many people allow their mistakes or their failures to define who they are, what they can do, or where they're going. And a lot of times, guys, what I see, Christians and non-Christians alike, they never get beyond them. They never overcome their mistakes. So maybe this last year wasn't so great for you, 2016. And maybe your average wasn't so great. Maybe you struck out more than you got hits. Maybe you left many people stranded on the bases, so to speak. Maybe you've been sitting on the bench. Maybe you haven't even been playing the game. I bet you there's some people in here tonight, some people watching. In fact, I know there's some people watching, hello, from the Dominican Republic tonight. They're watching all the way from down there. They're watching this service. So tonight, guys, that all changes. Tonight, that all changes. If you hook up with me and you raise an expectation, this is designed to raise an expectation in you that all changes tonight. If you're tired of the same old, and you want to see God in your life and you want to see Him move in your life, then it's going to require that faith, that confident expectation. Oh, you may have been thrown some curveballs. You may have had some serious change ups this last year. And, you know, as a care pastor, I made a list of things that people were pretty much, you know, always dealing with here in our church. And it's not an exhaustive list, but I can assure you that you can find yourself probably in this list somewhere. But, you know, there's a lot of people been believing for a long time and been standing and haven't received and been believing for a new job. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been believing for a job. Maybe you've been believing to maybe go back to school. Should I go back to school? Or maybe I'm too old. Maybe you're young and you're thinking about where should I go to school and what school should I go to? Maybe there's people in this room tonight, I know there is, that have been believing and standing and waiting for a mate, a spouse, someone to complete them. And they've lost hope. It just doesn't seem like it's happening. I know there's probably people in here, couples that have been believing for children. And they haven't received their children yet, you know? And they've been believing, they get discouraged. Maybe you've been believing for your finances to be turned around. Maybe 2016 was rough. I know there's probably people in here tonight been believing for a healing manifestation in their body, and yet it just doesn't seem like it's coming. I bet you there's people in here that are just believing, man, just hoping that 2017 is better than 2016. That's as far as, that, man, it's just got to be better than 2016. What if I was to share with you tonight something that could encourage you, to take you up, to advance you, to take you up to another level, to take you up higher? Would you want that?
Amen.
I know you would. I know you would. What if I was to say to you tonight that your faith, say my faith.
My faith.
Now turn to your neighbor and say your faith.
Your faith.
What if I was to tell you that your faith can overcome that whole list of what I just talked about? It can overcome it. 1 John 5:4, write this down. Write it down. I encourage you to write it on a piece of paper. If you don't have a piece of paper, I'd encourage you to write it on your arm, write it on your hand, go get it tattooed on you. You do whatever you got to do. 1 John 5:4, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Wait a minute, Pastor Chris. You're saying that whole list of things that I've been believing for, I can receive them all, I can get all that by my faith? Yeah, I said that faith, your faith. Jesus gave you the faith, and a lot of time it's just sitting there inoperative, idle. We're not acting upon it. But that verse tells us this is the victory that overcomes the world. So whatever this world is throwing at you, whatever it's thrown up against you, your faith is the victory that can overcome that. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said it, not Pastor Chris. So you need to get that down on the inside of you, that you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror through the faith that he's given to you. You say, I've been on that, Pastor Chris. I've been doing that, and I still am having trouble getting through, still having trouble getting beyond that. Well, I need you to promise me two things tonight, and two things from this point forward that you'll never, ever, ever say again. I'm going to tell you two phrases, two sayings that I want you to commit to me tonight to never, ever say them ever again. First one is, I don't ever want to hear you say, I can't ever again. We don't allow our children to say it. We don't say it. I'd encourage you not to allow your children to say it. Never, ever, ever again say, I can't. Never, ever again say, I quit. Never. Treat these two phrases as curse words, as taboo, meaning like we are not even going to go there. Don't allow them to come out of your children's mouth. Don't allow them to come out of your mouth ever, ever again. I can't. I quit. You know, I can't and I quit are two phrases that don't please our Heavenly Father. They don't please our Heavenly Father. Why? Because there's no faith in those. There's no faith in I can't. There's no faith in I quit. You know, we have sports stars and even some celebrities. You know, my son, I just bought him a pair of tennis shoes that I had to take the mortgage of the house out on. And on the bottom of it, it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, you know? And they got them tattooed on their arms, and people have it stitched in their clothing. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And then to turn around saying, well, I just can't do it no more. I can't. You don't know what I've been doing. I can't. Well, that negates it out. You can be confessing Philippians 4:13 all you want, but if you're saying I can't, it's negating it. It's zeroing it out. And it will not be effective, and your faith will be idle. It will not produce. You're either going to have I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, or you're going to have I can't. I can't do it. I can't go on. If you're a Christian, you don't have no quit in you. Devil's a liar, man. He's a deceiver. There's no quit in Christians. You don't have no quit in you. Jesus says you're more than a conqueror.
That's right.
He says that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. He says that he's the one that meets every one of our needs according to his riches and glory. If God be for us, who can stand against us? You don't have no quit in you. Don't allow that ever to come out of your mouth again. You promise me that?
Yes.
All right, you treat them as curse words, guys. I want to share with you two people very briefly from the Bible that had some extreme circumstances, and they overcame them, and God did mighty things in them. First one is this guy, young guy, very bright in the Bible, very intelligent, was sent to the best schools in the land to learn the law, religion. And he ended up being at the top of his class. And he had not had an encounter with Jesus yet. Okay? He hadn't found the way yet. And so this guy, who was very bright, actually thought he was doing God a favor. You know, there's religions that are still doing this to this day. And this man was persecuting the church. He was going after Christians, and he was having them put in jail. And he even had some murdered. That would make him a murderer. So one day, he's persecuting the church, the Christians, and he has an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus gives him the option, gives him the choice. And he had a choice that day to continue doing what he was doing and have the same results, or to follow after Jesus and have different results. He decided to go after Jesus, and this murderer, this person who was persecuting the church and having people thrown in jail, God used this same guy to write 3/4 of the New Testament. He used him to preach and teach, and there were signs, wonders, and miracles done through this guy. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? We don't have any. You tell me, Pastor Chris, you don't know what I've done. You murdered somebody? You chased down Christians and had them thrown in jail? God even went as far as changing his name. The guy's name was Saul, and then when he had an encounter with Jesus, his name was turned to Paul. You know, the same things happen to you and I. When we accept Jesus into our heart, we're Christians. Christians. Oh, I still keep my name Chris Palmer, but I'm a Christian. And you need to see yourself in light of who you really are. Chris Palmer, yeah, it's, you know, I respect that name. My mom's out here tonight. That's a good thing. So, but I'm not defined by my past mistakes, and neither are you. Amen. I'm not defined by what it was in my past. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. How about you? Yes. Second one, real quick. This little old lady, dear old lady, up in age, very, very sick. Maybe this is you. She'd been sick for a long time. 12 years, it says she was sick. And they said that she had an issue of blood. Now, listen, guys, a lot of times people think, oh, those are good Sunday school stories. Paul, who was Saul, and this lady I'm talking about tonight are just not some story in the Bible. These are real people, real circumstances, and they were put in there to build your faith, to make your faith come alive. And it should be doing that right now because you have faith. So this little old lady was sick for 12 years. Man, I don't know what that would be like, but I know when I'm sick for a day, I don't like it. 12 years she was sick. And the Bible said that she spent all her money, everything she had, going to clinics and hospitals, to doctors. And it said that she didn't get any better. It said that she actually got worse. That's a bummer. To be sick 12 years, and her condition was, it says she had an issue of blood. Well, what we know that to be now is hemorrhaging. So if you're hemorrhaging blood, we know this to be true in the natural. Come on now, you're weak. You don't have any energy, right? And she'd been this way for a long time. And not only that, she spent all of her money and she didn't get any better, she got worse. She hears about this man called Jesus that was going from town to town. And it said that wherever he was going, the people that came to him were healed. Well, what would I have to lose? I've tried everything. I've went to the best doctors. I've spent every last dime. What would I have to lose? I don't know this Jesus. I've never heard him preach. I've never heard him teach. All I heard is wherever he goes, the people that go to him are healed. Now, you notice I didn't say everyone was healed, because not everyone gets healed. The people get healed are those that believe. Everyone that went to Jesus went to him, received healing. Every one of them. I've read my Bible over and over and over. You will not find one person that went to Jesus for a healing and he turned away. My Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. He does not change. He does not vary. He's the same. So this lady, weak, sick, broke, hears that Jesus is coming through her town. I want to paint you the picture here, guys, because I think a lot of times we pass this over. You ever been to a ball game, a Steeler game, Penguin game, Pirate game, when it lets out, and there's hordes of people all trying to get back to their cars? That's the picture. Now picture Jesus in the middle of that crowd getting out of the ball game. And they're just following him because they want to see him do a miracle. They want to see him do something. They don't even know why they're following him, some of them. They're just following him. Thousands of people. This lady hears he's coming through her town. So at that time in day in history, you were not allowed. We didn't know what we know today. They thought if you were hemorrhaging, you're not supposed to be out in public because we could pass that on to me or you. So you were forbidden to go outside in public. This lady gets drums up all she can, gets herself dressed. She gets out of her house and she sees the crowd going through the streets with Jesus in the center of it. You know, he does stand out. And so she presses in. She says this to herself. Listen, she's never had an encounter with him. She's never seen him preach or teach. She said, but if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. Sounds like faith to me. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, she was going to get her reward. So she gets out in the street. She's weak. She's tired. Man, she's had this problem. And she's not even supposed to be out in public. And she gets in that crowd. And she starts maneuvering. And she starts, you know, pushing. And people are pushing her out of the way. You're not even supposed to be out here. And she gets to Jesus. And here's what happened. She touched him. He was walking. Jesus was walking. He wasn't preaching. There was no healing line. He was walking and she touched him. And the Bible says immediately she was made whole. Hallelujah. She got what she said. She said, but if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. That's faith. That's faith speaking. The number one indicator of our faith is our words. I can't do it. Well, then you're not going to do it. I quit. Then you're not going to have it. Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? Now, we're about pirate game just left out. Thousands of people. His disciples say, dude, who touched you? Look, they're all around you. People are touching you. You're saying, he said, who touched me? Now, you know, a lot of Bible scholars and people I've heard over the years say that, you know, Jesus turned around and this lady was, you know, shuddering back and she was timid and kind of working her way back. I don't believe that. I can't wait to see her. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm sick for 12 years and I just received my healing, I'm going to be happy, happy, happy. And I'm going to be dancing, I'm going to be shouting, I'm going to be like, there's going to be something different about my face, man. If I just got healed, when I spent all I could and all I did was touch Jesus and I'm healed, come on, man. And he looks at her and he says to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Hallelujah. Amen. The faith that you have, that Jesus gave to you, he's given unto each person the measure of faith. You don't need no more faith. You don't need no more faith. He tells us about mustard seed faith can pull up trees and throw them into the ocean. He talks about if we speak to mountains, they could be thrown into the sea. And we want more faith. I don't have enough faith, Pastor Chris. I don't have it. You got faith, sister. You got faith, brother. You just need to activate it. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I'm going to show you that you can do it. Amen? As a pastor, I deal with hurting people all the time. And the thing that I observe most is people get so close to their breakthrough. So close, man. And then an issue comes up. A circumstance comes up. And a little setback keeps them from receiving God's promises. So, I constructed this wall with a little help from my buddy Trump. Because we're going to make America great again, man. Look at that wall. See that, Donald? Call me, man. I can help you down in Mexico. All right. So I built this because I shared this illustration 1,000 times, and it helps people when you see it, okay, when you actually see it. So what I'm talking about here is people had setbacks. People have been striking out. They've had some curveballs thrown at them. They've been having some change-ups thrown at them. And here's what I've observed about people in all the time I've been ministering. It's people, they see their breakthrough, man. It's over there. The grass looks really green there. They hear pastor talking and they see from the word of God that that is available to them, but they're over here. And here's what I see, and I want to stop right here for a second. Whether you believe there's a devil, whether you believe there's an enemy or not, there is one. And Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to put a wall up between you and all God's promises. He goes to throw that wall up so you won't receive the promises. He keep you over here, keep you defeated, keep you disgruntled, dissatisfied. He's winning. Jesus said, but take hold. I've overcome every wall. Well, if Jesus is inside you and I, wouldn't that give you indication that you're able to overcome any wall? I'm going to show you. People say, or I see them, and they get an arm up. I'm getting ready to get my breakthrough. They got an arm. They got a leg up. And I'm just about right here. I'm just about ready to get over. What kind of enemy do you think he is if he wouldn't put out an all-out attack right then? He wants to keep you from getting over to the other side. He's been at it for a long time. He knows what's effective with us. And just when you're getting ready, you're so close, man, to your breakthrough. God's promises are all yes and amen to you and I who believe. You're so close, man, you're almost over. He throws out an all-out attack. And we can't do it no more. Wait a minute, you already promised, you said you would never say that again. I quit, man. I've been at it. You don't know what I've been going through. You have no idea what I'm going through. And they back off, and they allow a circumstance, and they allow a situation to dictate where they're going to go, what they're going to do, and how effective they are. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe this is you. You know, maybe everything's going hunky-dory in your life. Skippity-doo-da, skippity-ay, my oh my, what a wonderful, oh, all of a sudden there's a wall. Where'd that wall come from? Wait a minute, I thought it's because I was a Christian there, I should never have a wall come up against me. Jesus said you'll have many walls come up against you, but take hold, I've overcome them all, and because I dwell in you, I'm calling you an overcomer, you can overcome them all too. So you might be thinking everything's fine. You say, I've never had a wall, Pastor Chris. Well, praise God, man. Thank God for it. But don't be taken off guard when a wall comes up. How about a wall that's been there for years, man? I've been believing for my finances for years. I've been tithing. I've been believing for a healing in my body, and I haven't got it yet. That wall's still there, Pastor Chris. Well, here's the action points. Here's the application for you to get over your walls. Get your pens out. It's the doers that get results, not the hearers only. You need to do this. In order for you to do this, you're going to have to know from the Word of God. God's Word is His will. Here's your ammunition. Here's your bulldozer. Here's your high lift. Here's your mortar shell to get through any wall. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our application tonight would be, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You're doing that, you're here tonight. And His righteousness. You know there's a right way of looking at that wall. There's a right way of speaking to that wall. And there's a right way of acting towards that wall. That's righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then that wall will be taken care of. Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to do it by yourself. Get God involved. Get Him involved. Seek first the kingdom of God. We try to hurdle the wall. We fall down. We get broken up. And then we say, God, where are you? Where have you been? Why can't I get over this wall? It says, seek first the kingdom of God. 1 John 4:4, greater is He, Jesus, in me than any wall. Come on now, write that down, man. Stuff ought to be starting to stir up on the inside of you right now. Holy Spirit's doing His job. I know He does. You're either going to sit there like a bump on a log, or you're going to get stirred up tonight, but I'm going to stir you up. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is God who is in me than any wall that the enemy can put up against me. These verses that I'm quoting with you are part of my daily devotions. They're not even part of my daily devotions. They're who I am. I confess these. I decree these over my family, over my life, over my ministry, over my business every day. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Always is always. I wake up with the mentality, I'm making it through this day. I'm an overcomer, and I'm triumphing. I don't wake up with, oh, man, I dread this day. I dread going into Monday. No, man, every day is an exciting day. I'm ready to take it on, man. Bring it on. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph over any wall. Come on, man, make it real. Those aren't just some nice verses. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Write it down. Thanks be unto God who always gives me the victory. Victory. I don't know about you, but I like to be victorious. I'm not going in this situation all downcast. I'm not going somewhere tonight or somewhere tomorrow expecting something bad to happen in my life. I'm victorious. I'm a Christian. I know that, you know, some people are like, whoa, dude, settle down. But you know what? When you're in faith, there's nothing more exciting than being in faith. And if you're not there yet, you got it. You already got it. You just need to confess these scriptures every day. I guarantee you it'll change your countenance. It'll change your perspective. It'll change 2017 for you. Romans 8:37. He has made me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves me. What's that mean? More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror over any wall that the devil can put in my life. Those five scriptures, if you will do them and not just hear them, if you'll write them on the tablet of your heart, if you'll tattoo them all over your arms, if you'll put them out in front of you all the time, I guarantee you 2017 will be a turnaround year for you. If you don't, you'll have the same old, same old. God's word is powerful. Quit looking at every obstacle. Quit looking at every wall as something that's insurmountable. Adapt the mindset. Come hell or high water, I'm going over that wall, I'm going through that wall, I'm going around that wall, but I'm going over to the other side. I'm going over. How about you? Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Get over to the other side. It's doable. I'm going to pull one out of the archives for you. Break on through to the other side. Break on through, break on through. Who was it? Okay, I've tried this, Pastor Chris. I'm already doing everything you said. I've been on it, dude. So don't tell me to do this stuff. I've already been doing it, and I still haven't got my breakthrough. Well, this could be where you need some help, all right? The church. The reason the churches exist is to help each other. To help each other over the walls. To help each other get through a wall. You know, we want to do it in and of ourselves, and we want to keep trying and trying, and we never get beyond it. When all you have to do is ask for a brother. You know, we are the body of Christ made up of many members. And so where your deficiency is may be where another brother or sister can help you get up over that wall. So what I've done is I've asked three of my brothers to come up here tonight to help me with this illustration. Three brothers. And you might be in a situation where you've been up against a wall for a long time. And it hasn't been penetratable, you know, it hasn't been moving for you. Maybe you need to call up a brother or a sister. Maybe that wall's been there for a while. And you might need two brothers or sisters to get over that wall. That's what church is about. Quit trying to do it of yourself. Quit trying to just hang out or not come to church when, you know, when all hell's breaking loose is not the time you stay at home. It's when you come to church, man. It's when we surround each other, we lock arms, and we say, I'm getting over to the other side. Help me. I would do anything for these guys, and I know that they would do anything for me. So this might be you, the where you need help. And I've called two brothers. These two brothers are like willing to do whatever it takes to help me get over that wall. You say you built that whole wall. You called them up there for just that. Yeah, because you know what? You will remember that. You will remember that, okay? You might not remember the verses, but you'll remember that. You'll remember those guys crawling over top of the wall in church, man. So, leave you with this verse, one of my favorite. Mark 11:23. You all know it. Whosoever, say I'm a whosoever. You know, whosoever is the same whosoever found in John 3:16. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Whosoever shall say unto this wall, get out of my way, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that that wall is going down, he shall have whatsoever he says. There you go. That's faith in action. I didn't say that scripture either. In fact, it goes like this. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things whichever he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, I paraphrased it because whatever the wall is, if it's a cancer, if it's a financial bill, if it's a broken relationship, speak to it. Jesus said to. So, here's what's going to happen. Tonight, walls are going to come down. Walls are going to come down all over this place, okay? And we're going to have breakthroughs here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. I'm going to draw a line in the turf. I'm going to draw it all the way along the front here. I'm drawing a line. And what I'm going to ask you to do tonight, if you've had a wall, you've had something that's been up against you and you haven't had any breakthroughs, this line represents your wall. And here's what I know about God. As you take a step forward and you come out of that seat, he's going to grace you. Your grace of God's going to come on you. You will be able to walk forward. You will be able to cross over that line, and your wall will come down. It won't come down by you sitting in the seat. It won't come down because you're too prideful to get up because someone thinks, oh man, they might think I have some kind of problem. Hey, we all got problems. You know what? That lady with the issue of blood got hers. Yes. She took it. She took it. Do you hear me? She took it. You come take whatever you've been believing for. God is saying to you tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute to come down. You cross over that line. When you cross over that line, it's done. That wall is down. You don't look back. You don't talk about that wall. You don't look back to see what's happened. You just continue to start praising God. Praise God, that wall is gone. As of this night, December 30th, 2016, my walls are down in Jesus' name. I'm free to be all that God's called me to be and to do all that God's called me to do. One of the greatest miracles, we're believing for signs, wonders, and miracles. One of the greatest miracles can happen, the best miracle can happen to a Christian is when you receive the gift of salvation. That's a miracle, man. Once we were heading for hell, now we're heading for heaven. Once I was living in darkness, now I'm called a child of light. Once I was completely lost, now I know exactly where I'm going. I'm free. If you've never accepted Jesus in your life like Paul had to do that day, tonight's your night. Man, this is the greatest time right now, man, going into 2017. The Bible says that you can be born again, born anew. You can get a new start. Paul needed a new start. That lady needed a new start. Maybe you need a new start. If you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, tonight's the night. You never ever put off till tomorrow what you can do today. If you're not sure you've ever asked Jesus in your heart, this is your opportunity. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up with me. Remember, there's a line right here in the front of the sanctuary. I have prayer partners coming forward right now. Prayer partners that are ministers. These guys minister the Word of God. They're so full of the Word of God right now, they could be pastors in most churches. They're here to minister with you. If you've never accepted Jesus in your life, or you're not sure you have, that's the greatest miracle. I'm going to ask you, first of all, you come forward. No one's going to embarrass you. You can pray with a prayer partner. They're going to lead you into prayer of salvation. And then I'm going to ask the rest of you who've been battling a wall, and there's been a wall that's come up against you, and there's been a wall that's been up against your life for a while, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat. And I'm going to ask you to come forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to decree the word of God over your life. It's not going to be a whole lot of prayer time. It's going to be talking about and decreeing the word of God. And the word of God, when it's sent forth, there shall be signs, wonders, and miracles that take place in this place. All it's required is a believing. All it's required is a step of faith to come out. So if you've never accepted Jesus or you're not sure that you have, I want you to come forward right now. Let's cheer them on, huh? Come on, come on, let's cheer them on. Come on forward. Come on forward and receive. You come forward and receive. Come on, we're here for you. Come on, it'll be the best decision you've ever made. Praise God, look at that. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, if you're not sure you've ever done it, 2017, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to heaven. My security is sure, for sure. In Jesus' name. That's it. Bring a brother or sister down. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grab somebody beside you. They'll help you get over that wall. Grab somebody next to you and say, I need help walking down. They'll help you. We're here for you. We're here for you. Now, the rest of you, whatever's come up against you, this is your time. And I said to you that this is what God will do. When you take a step out from that chair and you make your way down that aisle, God's power, God's grace is going to come upon you. And I'm telling you right now already, guys, this is what's taking place in the spiritual realm. There's cracks in the mortar joints. The foundation's rumbling. And what you need to do is cross that line right there. That's a spiritual line right now. You cross over that line. Your wall is down in the name of Jesus. So you come forward if you want your walls to come down. You want 2017 to be better than 2016. You come forward right now. Just come forward. Be ministered to in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, signs, wonders, and miracles are taking place. You just believe it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come forward. Come forward. No hesitation. No hesitation. You just come forward, guys. We're not going to pray with prayer partners over one of you. Come forward. Get in double line there. I'm going to decree the word of God. You're going to repeat after me. Come on forward. In the name of Jesus, I want you to repeat after me. I'm the head.
I'm the head.
I'm not the tail.
I'm not the tail.
I'm blessed.
Coming in.
I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed out on the job. I'm blessed in the office. I'm blessed to be a blessing to all my neighbors. See that I serve the Most High God and be drawn unto you, Lord. I'm the one He loves. He loves me. He's given me life in abundance to the full till it overflows. I have favor, open doors, and opportunities. I'm good looking. By faith, I'm good looking. I'm bright. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. All things are possible because I believe nothing is too difficult to my God. I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that no weapon formed against you or your family shall prosper. I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that every tongue that rises up against you, any wall that would come up against you, would be torn down in the name of Jesus. You receive it in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over your families, over your children, over your businesses, over the ministry that God's called you to. I plead the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you and praise you for perfecting the things that concern us, Lord. Going into 2017, we thank you, Lord. You bless everything we set our hands to. new in Jesus' name. Receive it. Come on, take it. Lord, if you be for us, who can stand against us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. All things are possible because we believe. We believe. We believe. Say, I'm a believer. You said, Lord, you would do exceedingly above and beyond what we could ask, think, or even imagine. Have at it, God. Have at it in this place. Have at it in 2017, Lord. Bless us. Bless us. Bless us.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.